The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, it's now Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, which was commendable. These ladies thought so highly of Jesus that even though he was dead and gone, as far as they were concerned, they would still honor his memory by anointing his body. 2. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So they made their way to our Lord's tomb, and it was sunrise. It was dawn. 3. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" This is interesting because that stone would weigh several tons. And they didn't seem to be concerned about it not being moved, but rather who would do it. They were so focused on ministering to the body of Jesus that they felt any obstacle that would stand in the way would be removed. They just didn't know how. It was a concern, though. There's no question about that. Verse 4. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. It was very large. Somebody moved that stone. Probably several men. It took several men to roll that stone on a track downhill. Who knows how many it would take to roll it uphill? I can't imagine. Almost a superhuman's job to do something like that. 5. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. And as usual, when an angel appears, they appear in the form of a male, and they're dressed in white. And that's what this was, an angel. And as usual also, whenever an angel appears, they scare any human being that might be around. 6. He said to them, "Be not frightened." Why wouldn't they have to be frightened? Because they're right with God through Jesus Christ. An angel never tells an unsaved person not to be frightened. They should be frightened, probably more than what they are. But the angel says, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. The tomb is empty, ladies, and I'm telling you why. Jesus is back from the dead." 7. The angel says, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before them," or I should say before you, "into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said to you." And I like how God has this angel mention Peter specifically. Jesus knew that Peter was feeling terrible, worse than anyone else. Because he not only took off on Jesus, but he did the very thing that he swore he would never do. He denied Jesus, not just once, but 3 times in our Lord's hour of need, when he really could have used a friend. Peter denied him 3 times. And because Peter's love for Jesus was so strong, I'm sure he felt like he was totally unworthy, and if he was just told that Jesus was back from the dead and that he was going to appear to his disciples, Peter would have thought, no, yeah, his disciples, with one exception, me. He's not going to want to appear to me. So God knew how he was feeling, and so he goes the extra mile, and he makes sure that these ladies mention Peter by name. And God is so gracious. He knows what we're feeling. He knows when we feel terrible about failing him. And if you think that causes him to not want you, you are completely mistaken. You are totally wrong. He just wants you to come to him all the more. He never wants you to think that he doesn't want you. Never think that. It's just not true. He never wants you to think that he doesn't want you, no matter how many bad things you have done before you came to Christ or after you've come to Christ. Verse 8, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. They didn't stop and talk to anyone. They didn't greet anybody on the way. Oh, their old feet must have been moving so fast they were kicking up the dust. As they're heading back to the upper room to tell the apostles and the disciples what they saw, they were afraid. And they were amazed. Their emotions were just running wild. 9. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. So the first person that Jesus actually appeared to was Mary Magdalene, former demon-possessed person. Well, she had been saved from much sin. She had been forgiven much. So she had loved much. And Jesus appears to her first. The more you love Jesus, the more you will be blessed by him. And the more he will reveal himself to you. 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. So she went back. Everybody's crying and weeping. Still haven't gotten over Good Friday. Just weeping. Such a sad time. And she goes back with this fantastic story that she had seen the risen Lord. 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. They refused to believe, even though Mary was an eyewitness, and even though Jesus on several occasions said that he would come back on day 3, and even though the other ladies had the testimony of the angel in the tomb saying he had been raised from the dead. There's really no excuse for these people not to believe. They were filled with sorrow, and the sorrow was overwhelming them, and it was stronger than their faith in the Word of God. And that's a problem. Faith in the Word of God should be stronger than your sorrows. 12. After that, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country. These are the 2 men that were on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus appeared to them and walked with them and taught them many things from the Scripture, gave them a biblical foundation for the belief in Christ and everything that happened, including the resurrection. Then he revealed himself to them and disappeared. And after that, verse 13, they went and told it to the residue, to the others, and neither believed they them. They didn't believe him either. Well, they're going to believe. Verse 14, afterward he appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And why would Jesus be upset? The only time really Jesus got upset with people, I think, that I recall, was when they didn't believe the Word of God. that really makes God upset, because that gets right to the heart of his character. You're questioning his character when you don't believe his word. I mean, you tell somebody something, and you're telling them the truth, and it's about a matter of importance, and they don't believe you. How does that make you feel? When someone questions the integrity of your word? Well, that's how God feels when someone questions the integrity of his word. So he got upset at them because they didn't believe the word of God that he spoke, that was written in the word of God, and that was backed with the testimony of all these people who did see him. And these are his apostles. Well, verse 15. He didn't chuck them aside simply because they disappointed him. Good thing. We all disappoint him. He doesn't chuck any of us aside. 15. He said to them, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every single human being needs to hear that Jesus died on the cross and paid for their sins. Every single human being needs to hear that. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Otherwise, Jesus never would have said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, that I save them from hell," to every creature. Some Christians say they respect all religions. I don't. I respect the right to people that people have to worship a false god if they want, or in a false religious system if they want. I respect their right to do that. They have a free will to do that. But I don't respect all religions, because every religion other than the Lord Jesus Christ is leading people to hell. Jesus makes it clear, 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned." So how can I possibly respect other religions that exclude Christ? That say that there is some other way to heaven other than Jesus? How can you possibly, as a Christian, say that you respect other Christian or other religions? Don't respect them. Oh, I know it's a way of being popular, and you come across as being open-minded, but so what? Jesus wasn't open-minded. He said that he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be damned. They're going to hell. He's very narrow-minded. The real Jesus is narrow-minded. We need to let Jesus speak and believe him. 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." And those things happened on the day of Pentecost anyway. They spoke with tongues. The believers spoke with tongues, confirming that they were believers in Christ. Later on, other groups, those were the Jews that spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. Later on, when the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit and were saved, they spoke in tongues. Later on, when the Samaritans believed in Jesus, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, all giving evidence that Jesus saved them. And many of those Christians, especially the apostles, cast out demons in the name of Jesus. What else? 18, "They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These are all not intended to be tests of the validity of one's faith. And God does not expect you to drink Drano to prove to yourself and others that you're saved. That's not it at all. It's just that these things point out a general principle that miraculous signs will follow Christians, those who believe in the Lord, those who are saved. God will take care of them, and he'll do amazing things through them, not necessarily limited to these things or including these things. 19, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So after he got done saying everything he wanted to say to them, 40 days worth after he was raised from the dead, he ascended in his physical body up into heaven, which is where he has been for 2015 plus years anyway. as I make this recording. 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And he did. Boy, and you read the book of Acts, and he did miracle after miracle, proving that the gospel was true. Now, he doesn't do that today. I mean, I'm not saying that God never does a miracle, and you can put God in the box, and he'll never do a miracle. No, but in the beginning, the apostles did a lot of miracles because the message was new. Now the message has been confirmed. It is written in the Word of God, and if people don't believe that, they're not going to believe even if somebody does a miracle. People have to believe the written Word of God, and if they have a heart for truth, they will. If they don't have a heart for truth, they won't believe the written Word of God about Jesus. And even if you do a miracle to confirm the written Word of God, they still won't believe. The Word of God is that powerful. It convinces those who love truth.